You left Evan for the third time in 1956.
Yes.
What, now why was that?
Well, I had remarried on my third marriage. And my husband had a tree and a beer bar. And I couldn't work two jobs. I'd work Douglas days, you know, then come home and help him until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just didn't get enough rest. It was just a little bit too much for me. So I quit Douglas in 1956 then. And I stayed there in the station, oh, 19 years, I guess.
What was your name?
Rose Cafe on Rose Avenue in Venice. And I was he and I were just so lonely, brother, and he passed away in 66. He passed away in 66.
Okay, let's go back, and I wanted to ask you, I didn't ask you when your first husband died, what year that was, I mean, your second husband.
Well, honestly, he passed away in, 47.
And then, how did you succeed?
Well, somebody told me, when I was working with Douglas, somebody said, I said, well, I want to go out and eat. By that time, my daughter had grown up and was married. And I wanted to go out and eat somewhere. And someone said, if you go down to this little place down on Rose Avenue, you get some of the best ham hocks and lima beans. So I just happened to come in there one afternoon. I had my own car, and I drove down one afternoon, and I just got acquainted. I got the ham hocks and lima beans, and I got acquainted with the owner, and then I, let romance go on and on and on, as we finally got married, and I moved down there. I was living up in Santa Monica district then, and then I finally moved down there, and I, as I said, I quit Douglas. I just couldn't, do two jobs. And I stayed there until he passed away. Well, I stayed there nearly 2 years after he passed away, and I sold it.
Can I ask you how either one of these men felt about you working? Did they ever have any reservations about you working in those factories?
No, no, they didn't. I wanted to work when I first met my husband, my third husband. And then he said, well, if you want to work, go ahead. I'll hire somebody. And so I said, well, I would. But, and he didn't mind it at all. And neither did my second husband. He didn't mind me working because we need the money, And so I said, well, I just can't do two jobs, working here at the cafe and at Douglas too. So that's the reason that I quit in 1956.
When you were working, when your husbands were working, did you share the housework at all? Those kinds of chores, the shopping and the cooking and the cleaning and... or
well, I tell you, we ate at the cafe all the time, and we just went up to the house and done the sleeping. And then we came back the next morning and done the cleaning at the bar. But we had a Tuesday off. We were open 6 days a week. And we always had Tuesday off and always done the cooking at the house. But so many people knew us that we lived right behind the bar. And they were running in and out all day long on our days off. We'd sit out in the yard. We had Pete Dobie's pencil. And we'd sit out there and play with those dogs when they were young. And just sit out in the tree, you know, get a fresh air, get out of the smell of the deer and the cooking. That cooking in a bar or in a cafe over one of those stoves kind of gets to you. You get it in your system and you don't, you don't care whether you eat or not, you know, because the feeling goes in your body, I suppose, but you don't care whether you eat or not. But it was always a big thing for us to go up to the house and we cook a steak up there and cook vegetables and stuff like that up there, you know, where I wouldn't have to smell that grill all the time. And we just, we just both worked together real good. And I was there until he passed away in 66, that's right. And I kept it till I sold that out in 68. And then I started with something else.
No, why don't you go ahead and talk about it?
Then I sold out and I traveled for a couple of years. I went up in Oregon and stayed a couple of months. I had a niece up there. And I went up there and stayed a couple of months. Then I decided, well, I want to go over in Nevada. I want to see Nevada. I'll go over there and do a little gambling. So I went to Carson City, and I lived over there for a couple of years. I guess it was 3 years. And I lived up in Lake Tahoe for about 4 months, I guess. And then I would come back down here. My daughter would moved from back east while her husband, you know, was in the service. They were back there. Then they bought a home out in the valley, and I come back, visit them, and I decided, well, I'm going to go to work. I'm getting tired of traveling.
How did you live those years without working?
Well, as I said, I sold my place, and I had a little bit of money. And I lived very, very good. And then I got tired of that, and I wanted to go back to work. I'd seen enough of all of that Nevada. And so I wanted to go to work again. And I came back to the valley, and I started working there. And I worked at different convalescent homes. I was a cook in those places. Because I had learned to do quite a bit of cooking, you know, being in the bar and in the restaurant part. Well, they need these old people, you know. And so I went to work. Well, first I went to a D-grad after I sold out and done my little skibbling around a little bit. Why then? I said, well, somebody told me about a D-grad up in Bridgeport, California. So I went up there and I worked one season. They just stayed open for one season. They opened in May and closed in September. And I was chief cook and bottle washer up there. Well, chief cook, not the bottle washer. And that was something that was beautiful for me, because you got to meet so many of the people that came, you know. You got to meet ranchers, merchants, thieves, and bankers, and all this. And it was a beautiful ranch, just up in the hills, you know. It was just beautiful. And the lady that owned it, she just loved the other cooks. There were two of us cooks. And she just loved us both. And she wanted me to come back the next year. But it was kind of confining. You only had one day off, and you worked quite a few hours. The time you served around 100 and 125 or 50, something like that, you were tired when you went to bed at night time. So I decided, well, I didn't think I wanted to go back. And she called me and called me, and we'd come back the next season. But I didn't go. I was doing cooking in convalescent homes there. And I went this, that place, the other, out in the valley, do the cooking. Oh, I did, after they did close, I went to work in a place, in a little place over there, cut close to Bridgeport. And I worked there for a couple, 3 months, till December, I guess it was. And then I came back to the valley, got myself an apartment. And then I just worked one job in the convalescent, this, that, and the other, till they closed, till I got tired of them, went to some other place. That's the way I see you get. And, I went to, the Honeywell, guest rest, in Bridgeport in 69. And then, I cooked in that little restaurant I told you about until the latter part of 69 in December. Then I came back to Van Nuys and went to work there in a convalescent. And they sold out. I was there in 70. And they sold out in 70. Then I went to another little convalescent hospital in Van Nuys, Arthur Providence. And I didn't stay there very long because I didn't like the way that she had us to fix food, because they'd get the food out of what they threw away in a grocery store. And we had to cook that. If it was 4 or 5 green beans, we had to cook those. And she'd have chicken, and she'd have nothing but chicken livers and chicken gizzards. And so they were in the process of building a bigger place. And this gal that was the main cook, she quit. And I had to take over the main cooking. I didn't make out the menu, the owner did that. And they wanted me to stay because they were going to enlarge it, he and her both. They were both nurses, registered RNs. And they wanted me to stay and be the main cook. And I said, no, I could not stay because I didn't believe in the way they were cooking for those old people. And I mean to tell you, they just feed them a little handful, and I couldn't see those people eating that stuff like that. So I quit, and I went to work for a Jewish place in Van Nuys. And I worked there till 71. And then I came to, I quit that. I couldn't live up to their living either. I didn't like the people I worked with. And then I came to Santa Monica and worked there from 71 till 72. But it was a Catholic place I worked in. Then I just roamed around. I worked a little while at another place, another convalescent home. Then my sister moved to Idaho, Boise, Idaho. And they couldn't get me. And they said, you're coming up to Idaho to live with me. So I went up there, and I worked 4 years for a convalescent hospital up there until they sold out. Then the owner, the new owner, he wanted me to come to work for him. And I worked with him for about a couple of months. And he said, Myrn, we just cannot afford you. So they laid me off. And the day that I was moving back to California, they wanted me to go back to work for them. I said, look at that car out there. It's loaded, it's packed, and it's full. So I came back to California, and here I am.
And have you worked since you've been back?
No. I did help my sister I did help my sister over get her bar. I moved to Oxnard when I came back from Idaho.
How did you go there?
That's where my daughter was living. And I got me a little place up there, and I didn't do anything there. Then when I went on Social Security, well, I went on Social Security before I left Idaho. And then I went on unemployment when I came back down to Oxnard. Then I decided, well, I want to make another move. I like moving around. And I moved over to my sister's in Hawthorne or Lawndale. And I came to bar over there for a little bit. You know, I didn't do much of anything. Then she got about a barmaid or anything like that. I, without a cook, I'd go in and help her. And she didn't have a cleaning lady while I went in and done the cleaning. So I just stayed around there and helped her for a couple of years, for a year and a half anyway. And I moved right over here, and here I am.
Yes, what made you decide to move here?
Well, it was far to come see my friends, and I decided I'd rather be back over here where my friends was, you know, and my sister helped, you know, and she just needed me, and I couldn't see sitting there and looking at those four walls when I could be over here taking time with some of my sisters and go up there and spin. And I just enjoyed it so much since I've been back over here. I've made new acquaintances and got to see my old friends that I used to, you know, work with or work around. And it's just like my living just wonderful.
That's good. That's good. You've done a lot of different kinds of work.
Yes.
I'm wondering if there's kind that you like better than others. How they compare to each other?
Well, I like working on the diet. It isn't as strict to work. You didn't have to do the diet like you did in the convalescent home. You had to know your patients, and you had to know the diet that they were on, and you had to fix their food. Maybe you had to cook it separate from the rest of it, you know, the different diet. And had to go that way, and I finally got used to it, but I had to know the patients first, you know, to know where to send the food that I had picked for, because we had the trees going out, and we'd had as high as 25 or 30 trees, you know, going out of there, or more, and then at the tables where some of the places, the last place I worked in, we served them at their own individual table in the dining room. And you had to know, you know, who sat where so you could send their diet to them and how much they ate. They didn't believe in throwing out food. Any place that I worked in these kind of less places. And you had to cook just a certain amount, you know. And you also had to feed the employees, the nurses, and the helpers, you know, that was in there. But you had to learn all these diets. And that was kind of hard for me to learn at first, but after this main cook taught me how. And then I just caught on to them just like that. But I tell you, I had rather do work like I did at Douglas. Now, I'm good at getting out and fixing a fence or building a barn or something like that, working out in the yard or working with tools. And in fact, to the goodness, I still got my tools, some of them that I had at Douglas.
I was going to ask you that.
Yes. I still have them, and I still use them practically every day. I wouldn't take anything for them, because they just kind of give me a good heart feeling and have a place in my heart. Because I love that kind of work. I was always used to the I lived on a cattle ranch before I came out here. Well, I lived on a farm when I was growing up. And then I lived on a cattle ranch before I came to California. And I had to do everything like that. So, fix that, fix an old Model T. I don't know, maybe I should have been made a man because I love that kind of work rather than to work in the house and do housework. But, when I was over to my sister, she'd say, "Mom, would you please come and drive this mail for me? I can't reach it or I can't drive it. I can't get it on here. Would you come and hang this screen door for me? Would you come and fix this lock?" Or something like that. If we had to do any soldering on any of the electrical wires, right, I did that. And I've always liked to do things like that rather than to work inside or do cooking. But seems to me like I did more cooking for them than that. I still do things for people around here. This gal that comes over here, she's got a hen on her cabinet. She don't know how to fix it, and I turn it up, and she's home, and call me, I'm going down and fix it for her. I do just as well as she can, put that in the back pocket. Well, she don't know how anyway. And so I go around, I'm going to fix it. And then the guys once in a while, they say, "Mom, come and help me do this, or come and help me do that." Just piddling outside, you know. And that's about as far as I go. Sometimes I go over to my girlfriend's house and she says, "Mom, will you help me hang a curtain? You know, I'm pretty tall. I'll say, hang a curtain or a drape or fix a chair or something that goes out on outside in the lawn." And I don't know. I just rather do that kind of work than to sit around and crochet or sew or I've done that posting work on chairs, you know, with my own. I don't know, I just rather do enough than housework. I look for house. Well, I'll give you tomorrow. I'd rather be outside. But I've lived a beautiful life. I've done a lot of things as far as making a living for my daughter and I when she was growing up. And she was only 9 years old when I came out here. So I did a beautiful job of raising her. Then I've done a lot of things that I love to do.
I wanted to ask you, you're really used to taking care of yourself and being independent, it seems. I'm wondering if you've lost 3 husbands, and I'm sure emotionally that must have been the very hardest time. I wonder how you responded to being alone again.
Well, when I lost my, as soon as my first husband passed away, I just folded up things and came to California. Of course, I had to leave him so far back there, you know, and being the father of our child, I had to take her away, but there was nothing to do back there. And that was kind of a blow to me. And I was a country girl, and I'd always worked on a farm outside, you know. And when I got to California, I tell you, I was absolutely scared to death. I didn't know I had seen a streetcar. You know, in those days, we had a streetcar running back and forth from here to L.A. Well, I'd never been on one in my life. And I was absolutely scared to death. A big town like this, because I was from a very small town. And if I had the money, I think I'd turn around and tell me back to Texas, which I thank the good Lord I didn't. But I've always been very independent, and I always had to see that my daughter was taken care of and myself. And in between my marriage, this was, I had to work there, and we had to work anyway, even after I was married. And my second husband, I guess that was my hobby, to give him up. And then I was single for quite a few years after he passed away. And my last husband, it was hard to give him up, but he was dying every day back at sea, you know, and I got kind of used to it because I knew he wasn't going to last too much longer. He had heart trouble, and he also, I could see him going down every day. And I had him in the hospital just a week before he passed away. And it was hard to get used to living by yourself, you know, and running a bar and a restaurant together. And I never could, and I don't think anybody else even today get halfway decent help that you can trust, or they'll stay, you know, with you. Just like my sister at a big bar over there in Hawthorne. They just come and go, waitresses and barmaids and barmen, you know, and cooks. And I just kind of lost for a little while after my last person passed away. But I found myself now, and I'm dependent on my own self. And I like the way I live. I can get up and go when I please. I don't have to answer to anyone. And I don't think I would ever marry again. I don't think I would ever marry again. I have met quite a few nice people, nice men, and I have had proposals. But I kind of like being by myself, so I can go when I get ready and come back when I get ready and do whatever I want to do. And it's my dollar that I'm spending, not somebody else's. So I just don't think I would ever marry again, unless it would be for money and I'd have to like the guy a heck of a lot. Then I might.